few more comments and let you go. Jesus made this comment about his Father's house being a house of what? Prayer. Right. And so if a church does not pray, if a church does not pray, can it be called a house of prayer? Then it can't be the Father's house. Because every house that the Father deems his house has to be a house of prayer, amen? Marcia, come up here, Marcia, and grab a mic, and because you're going to pray today. I know that you're passionate about something. Wait, he's coming to help you. Yeah, yeah. Get her a mic. I know your heart is hurting because you just came from Haiti.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, the Haiti's in an uproar right now over the increase in gas and fuel prices. And they are burning stuff in the street to the point that American Airlines, I think it was American Airlines and Spirit says, we're not flying in. We're not flying in to Haiti because of the uproar that's going on. And we were just there a few months ago. And so we're going to take a moment and pray for them and pray for the missionaries. We support ministries in Haiti. We do. And we saw young babies there and kids. We saw that and pray for protection over them, for our missionaries. And pray that calmness and peace would enter in. So, Marcia, you're going to take a moment and you're going to pray for them, okay?
Sure. just kind of before I get into that, when I was hearing about the crisis that was happening in Haiti, they've raised their gas prices by 38% and the diesel prices by over 50%. And I think that most of us here would have difficulty with that, let alone people who already don't have much. So I just wanted that to kind of, you know, meander around in your mind and in your spirit as they're really over there struggling and suffering just to have some basics, So with that, gracious Father, we just like to take a moment, Lord, to hold up to you our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Our missionaries over there trying to do your work, the families and the children who are trying to survive, Lord, who are suffering. Father God in heaven, we just like you to put a hedge of protection around them, to cover them, Lord, during this time of crisis, to keep them safe, to comfort them with your presence and your word. Lord, our children, our babies, our families, they are needing so much more of you.
Yeah.
And they are needing so much of us to come and be that presence of you there, Lord.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to ask, Lord, that you protect them, that you comfort them, that you continue to love on them in only the way that you can.
Yeah.
And that you put it in our hearts and our minds that we can't change the world by going to church. We change the world by being the church.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we just like to thank you for the opportunity to see for ourselves, to see firsthand how your children are suffering, and allowing us the opportunity to be that help and be that blessing. So all of these things, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To wait. Come on. The Lord said this. He said, I sought for a man who would stand in the breach. What he meant is I sought for someone who would pray. And this is what the Lord said. He said, but I found none. The Lord said, told Ezekiel, I'm seeking for a man who will stand in the gap. What an indictment. And the Lord said, couldn't find one. Huh? Couldn't find one. Part of our job as the church is to intercede. Amen. And so if we're not interceding, we're not doing our job. Have you ever been in a position of authority and you had people who were not doing their job? And we require for you to then do the job? Well, one of us ain't needed. Amen? Listen, if I got to do your job, I don't need you. Right? It is our job. Today, briefly, I'm going to share with you on this idea, this thought about how will you finish? How will you finish? In fact, turn to your neighbor and ask them that question. How will you finish? As I said earlier, I hope that you had a wonderful and restful and enjoyable 4th of July. Times of warm weather and long days and vacations. But it also marks the midpoint of the year. And at every midpoint, there is an opportunity to make what is called mid-course corrections. You see, those corrections are made in order to have a strong finish. Everyone say strong finish. Do I have a video ready? Holly back there, just get it ready for me. Many people start off well. Huh? Start off well. Take off. Right? But at some point along the course, they drift off, they slow down, they lose focus. And what the Lord desires for us is to finish stronger than we started. So we started off 2018 strong. Week of prayer, just going at it, fasting, amen? But somewhere along the road, maybe March, huh? Maybe February. Huh? We start to drift off. Slow down. Lose focus. But again, the Lord wants us to finish stronger than we started. But in order to do that, we need to make some mid-course corrections. Get the lights for me and get that video ready. In Super Bowl 51, the Atlanta Falcons started off great, but failed to make mid-course corrections. Play that video for me, please. Hit those lights in. In Super Bowl 51, Atlanta started off great, 28-3. 28-3 going to the second half, but failed to make any mid-course corrections. New England, on the other hand, started off terrible, but they made necessary mid-course corrections. In order to finish strong, we have to make mid-course corrections. We made certain New Year's resolutions. Joined gym, right? We did. Just don't look up, just look straight at me. Went and found a Bible app. Said I'm going to read the Bible. Now it's time to make some mid-course corrections so that we can finish strong. Amen? Don't finish weak. Finish strong. When we were coached years ago in basketball, the basketball coach would always tell us to finish strong. When you go to the hoop, finish strong. Our football coach would say, go full speed. Half speed, you get hurt. Go full speed. In order for us to finish strong, we have to make some corrections. Are you ready to make some corrections? Because some of you started off well. I'm going to do homework. I'm going to study every night. Here are some four things I want you to do in order to finish well. Write these down. Here we go. Number one, rededicate ourselves to the study of God's instruction manual. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. It says here, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let me read it in this Amplified. It says here, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do everything. Everyone say everything. In accordance with the entire law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. That way you will prosper. See, we have to read it, God's instruction manual. We have to study it. Yes, we've got to listen to sermons. Yes, make sure to be active and a member of a small group. Yes, this second half of the year, let's make an effort to become more familiar with the Word of God. The Atlanta Falcons would tell you it's not good enough to start out well. 28-3. For those of you who are football fans, you thought the game was over. You said to yourself, there's no way the Patriots would come back from that score. They started off well, but they made no mid-course corrections. And they lived in yesterday. The Atlanta Falcons will tell you it's not good enough to start off well. We have to finish well. Who today can say that when they were younger, they could recite the Old Testament in order? Who can say that? Who can say that? Who can say that? There are a few of you who say that. Y'all don't want to raise it because you don't want to ask next. Now today, how many of you that raised your hand can say, I can still recite them? All right. You see, it all boils down to us living off what we did in the first half. But as we saw in Super Bowl 51, if we do not make mid-course corrections so we can finish strong, our enemy will overtake us and hand us a defeat. You see, it's not good enough to talk about what you used to do in the first half. I remember the days, man, we would go to church and stay all day and pray. I remember I would pray. I'd pray in the Spirit all morning. I remember. You remember it, but you're not doing it. I remember we used to go to church. We'd be there. We'd witness on the bus, on the street. I remember after the first half. You started off well. How are you going to finish? It's good to remember what you used to do. But many of us live back there. I remember, man, we used to have those powerful prayer meetings back then, back in the day. Back in the day. What is back in the day anyway? You know, the back of the day is different for every generation, amen? My back in the day is not the back of the day for other people, amen? I hear young people talk about now, well, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s. The 90s? That ain't back in the day. Huh? For them, it's back in the day, right? We have to be back in the day, the 90s. We have to rededicate ourselves to study God's instruction manual. We got to read. We got to study. Amen? We got to read. We got to study. Otherwise, the enemy will overtake us and hand us a defeat. Number two, write this down. We've got to talk about the word. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 5, and it says there in verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And give me verse 7 as well. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt teach them unto thy children and shall talk of them when you sit down. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, you have to talk about the word. You have to talk about the word often. We talk about everything else in our homes. We talk about this, talk about that. We're talking about LeBron James. We talk about everything. But I threw it in there. People sometimes think he's the Lord Jesus. Him coming to a place, oh, everything has changed now. Jesus has arrived. No, he ain't arrived. No. Ask your kids questions about the word. Ask them, what had the Lord been saying to them? Use it in your daily conversations. Talk about if you're going to finish strong, you got to follow the instruction manual, which is the word of God, and you got to talk about the word of God. We don't talk about it enough. We spend time talking about things in Washington. Spend time thinking about things on the border. But we don't spend time talking about the word of God. It is the word of God. It's the power of the gospel that changes lives. The enemy keeps us busy. Number three. Meditate on the word of God. Everyone say meditate. This requires contemplation. Contemplation is to look thoughtfully for a long time. It means to examine. It means to memorization. If you were raised up in the church at some point in time, you were challenged to memorize verses. Anybody here remember that? Okay, there are no other folks who were raised up in the church. Y'all didn't memorize verses? Okay. So we're going to try something today. Is that all right? All right. And I'm going to give you a week to do it. Can I do that? All right. Ed, Tony, you got these verses? Pass them out to everyone. You see, meditating on the word, it requires memorization. It requires examination. It requires to look thoughtfully for a long time. It does. If you're going to meditate on the word of God, when you want to finish strong, you'll do what it takes to finish strong. Amen? Yeah. And so we're going to challenge you to to memorize this. I think it's only one verse, right? One verse? I think it's one verse. Do we have enough? We need some over here, too. We're going to memorize one verse. And how many can say right now they can memorize one verse? Okay. We all can do it. We're going to see who's going to do it, though. Amen? If I were to say everyone that memorizes a verse, this verse, by next Sunday, will get a $20 gift card. Huh? You, I'd sue. Before we leave today, I had that thing memorized. But I'm not going to offer that. Because the word of God is its own reward. Amen? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will come and remind you. But it cannot remind you of nothing you never committed to memory. Everyone have it? Everyone have it? All right. Who will memorize it in a week? All right. Okay, we'll see. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You see, let's challenge ourselves to commit to memory a portion of God's word. And we're going to start this week. See, this meditating on the word, it also involves solitude. Meaning this, and I shared with you last week, at some point in time during the day, listen, everyone, you got to get by yourself. At some point in time of the day, you have to get by yourself. And let me say this, if you do not put it on your calendar, it will not get done. I'll talk to this side. If you don't put it on your calendar, it won't get done. Amen? Because here's what the enemy will do. He will bring to your memory all those things you need to do, you should be doing. And before you know it, it's 9 o'clock at night. He said, I'll do it tomorrow. No. Calendar it. Take some time to get by yourself. I'm not talking about at nighttime. I'm talking about in the morning time. Amen? Get in your car and drive somewhere if you got a family. Because you got kids, it's hard. Amen? Get in the car, go in the backyard, go in the bathroom, shut the door. Them, don't bother me, I'm in the bathroom. What you doing in there? Meditate on His word. Get by yourself and meditate on His word and how good He has been to you. You see, it's not good enough just for the pastor or the Sunday school teacher to study and memorize the word of God. Everyone has to, amen? Everyone has to, because all of us play a part in the advancement of the kingdom of God. If not just the guy who stands up here, it's all of us. I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to pray from the board. I got Gail, come up here. Who else on the board who's here today? Gail, Sheree, anyone else here from the board? Come on up. And where's Sister Woods at? Sister Woods, still come up, Sister Woods, and grab her a mic. And yeah. And we're going to pray for our board members, because all of us need to finish strong. Amen? This is a house of prayer, right? Amen. Sister Woods, I want you to pray. These two represent our board, and we've got huge decisions to make as we go forward the remainder of this year, and we need God's cover. I want you to pray for us, okay? Yes. Yeah.
Father, we thank you and praise you for every opportunity to hear from you. Lord, we know, Father, that if we submit ourselves to you, that you will direct our path, that you will guide us into your truth, and that you know what your will is for us, oh God. And we're seeking it, Lord. We want to know how to follow you. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you've given us even an appetite for the word and for the leadership that you've given us in our pastor, oh God. I pray, Lord, that as we study your word, Father, that you will direct us, that you would give us your will Father, we thank you that you've already started in this church to raise the awareness, oh God, that we need to continue to grow in you. And we thank you, Father, that even these people who are on the board have the witness of God in their hearts. Lord, give them your wisdom, your direction, oh God, that this church might bring glory unto you, that we might celebrate who we are in you, and that you might use us for your kingdom's sake. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Stay here, Sister Woods. Help the other ladies down. Listen, if you've got kids in your home still, stand to your feet. If you've got kids in your home, stand to your feet. Because we want to pray. What helped me become familiar with the Word of God was seeing my mom become familiar with the Word of God. I saw it. I saw it in her, right? We don't do things to be seen, but we should be seen doing things. Amen? We should be seen praying. We should be seen reading the Word of God. Amen? And it's up to you to live that life in front of your child. Right? It's not up to me. It's up to the youth pastor. No. It's your job. Tell yourself it's my job.
Yes.
It's your job.
Yes.
And dad, it's really your job.
Yes.
Your kids need to see you studying the Word of God. They need to see you praying. Amen? They need that example when you get up, when you lie down, when you go on your way. They need to hear you talk about the Word of God. If you're going to finish strong, it's going to take the studying of the Word of God, the meditating on the Word of God. So I want to pray for, you're going to pray for all these parents who have children at home. That their kids would see mom and dad ferocious in the Word of God, aggressive in the Word of God. So pray, Sister Woods.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you that you're already here and that you've given us your instruction and your witness, oh God, through your people, Father. We thank you and praise you that you're already here. Father, help us to listen, to bow our heads before you, to commit our lives to you, that you might use us for your glory, Father. We thank you for the children that you've given us, oh God. It's such a heavy responsibility, and sometimes we don't realize how important it is for us to be in that place where they can say, yes, I know it's true, because my mother said, I heard my father say. And Lord, help us, oh God, that we would not put aside those things that are most important for last, Lord. Help us to prioritize in our lives, Lord, and to realize that the time is very short, that we have to impress our children and to bring them to you, Father. And so you've already given us instruction to teach them before they lie down, even as we eat dinner together, even as we gather together, that they would know that this is the way. Lord, help us to give them the scriptures, oh God, so that they could study to show themselves approved, and they can be a workman not ashamed of the glory of God. And we thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You stay up here. This is a house of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's very difficult to sing a psalm if you're not familiar with the psalm. So worship team, stand up to your feet and just come to here to the front. If you're on the worship team, come up here. Hallelujah. Because you're going to pray over them as well. There's no way if you sing, you can stay down there, you don't have to worry about it. There's no way for you to sing the Psalms unless you know the Psalms. And so I challenge you to be aggressive in your study of the Word of God, as in your meditate on the Word of God. That's going to come out of you. As you sing, are you listening to me? It's going to come out of you because you put it in you. Amen? And in fact, God gave David psalms to write. Amen. God can give you psalms to write as well. As you're in his word, God will give you phrases and melodies, hallelujah, that you will sing back to him. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Sister Wood, you're going to pray for this worship team.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We so thank you for able to praise you, Lord. We don't even realize how powerful it is that even the devil trembles, oh God, when we glorify your name, when we lift your name on high, oh God. And we praise you and thank you for this team that we have here, Lord, that they are already dedicated to you, Father, that you've already given them an inspiration, Lord, and that you've used them in the past. But, oh God, we want to be greater use for you, Lord. We want to bring this place to know, Father, that there is nothing that we can do without you. And, Father, as we praise and glorify your name, we lift up a standard against
Hallelujah.
The enemy. We
Hallelujah.
Lift up a standard for ourselves,
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, something that's going to carry us for the rest of our lives, every day of our lives. So help us, oh, God, to be ready to praise you first thing in the morning. Hallelujah. To be so thankful that you've raised us up, Lord.
Yes.
Thanks should be first in our heart when we raise up. Thanking you, Father, giving you praise for what you've already done, for keeping us through the night, Father, for taking us safely, and, Father, for being able to go even with our children. Oh, God, we thank you that we can instruct you. We can say, Father, go with this child.
Yeah.
Be with him today.
Yeah.
Correct him today. Help
yes.
him today. And, Lord, you, Father, will do it because you want to be for your children. You want to raise up your children. You want to do these things,
Hallelujah.
God. This is your will
Hallelujah.
That we should praise and honor
Hallelujah.
Your name and give
Hallelujah.
Glory to you. So thank you, Father,
Hallelujah.
For the privilege that we have.
Hallelujah.
And I'll help us to do it dutifully
Hallelujah.
Every day in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, Sister Woods, thank you. Listen, As she was praying, I just felt like the Lord was saying this to your parents. Your kids will hang out with many unchurched kids. All right? They will. And that unchurched kid may never see or hear anything about the things of God at their home. You listen to me? The only time they will be around in the anointing will be at your home when they come visit your child. And so when they have dinner at your home, don't be embarrassed. You pray over your food. Huh? You talk about the things of God in front of your children's friends, because that will be the only time they will hear it. Don't be discouraged or tired when they always come over your house. Why y'all bringing your friends over here? Ain't they got a house? They got a home. They always eating over here all the time. We've said that, amen. The Lord is sending them to your house. There's no godliness in their home. God does not want anyone to perish. Your home is the anointed home. Amen. So when those unsaved kids or your friends come into your home, they ought to hear the things of God. Hear the music of God. Amen. Hear people praying at the dinner table. Amen. Don't be embarrassed because, well, I don't know. Pray. They eating your food. They're going to think that it's weird. Your kids will be embarrassed. Oh, mama, why you, daddy, why you got to pray like that? I used to be. Glory to God. Pray. Your home is an anointed home. Amen? Number four. We talked about rededicating ourselves to God's instruction manual. We talked about talking about the word from Deuteronomy. We talked about meditating on the word in Joshua 1:8. Watch this. I don't care how many good plays you can diagram. Huh? I don't care how many good plays you can diagram. At some point in time, you have to execute. Amen. Number four, you got to apply the word. At some point in time, listen. Don't just read the instructions. Don't just talk about the instructions. Don't just meditate on the instructions. At some point in time, you have to apply the instructions. So you have to go and study this, talk about this, meditate on this. But listen, when your boss tells you, tell the person on the phone, I'm not here, and your boss is there, you have a decision that you have to make. Will you apply the word of God, which says, do not lie? Or will you lie because your boss said, tell them, I'm not here? At some point in time, you will have to apply the word of God. Not just in theory. Well, if I were that situation, then I would do. No, you have to actually do it. Because you're going to be challenged on your job to say or do things that goes contrary to the instruction manual. And you have to make a decision whether I'm going to please him or them. You see, in theory, oh yeah, thou shalt not lie. That's good in theory. All right? But when your boss says, do this, lie for me, because that's what they're saying. All right? You've been in offices. Tell them I'm not here. Well, I see you. You right there in the next office. Amen? So listen, you have to be strong enough, courageous enough to tell your boss, listen, I cannot lie for you because it goes against what the word of God says. And I have to, listen, you have to apply the word of God to your life outside of the church building. It's all right to talk about and in here, right? But you have to apply it outside of here. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite. You're just a fake. You're just a phony. Huh? Yeah. So you have to apply the word of God. When you are filling out that form and it asks you a question, and if you know that if you answer the question the way that maybe it gets you that whatever it is, or if you answer it the right way, with a no, you won't get what you're trying to get. You have to make a decision. Am I going to apply the word of God to this situation or give in to my fleshy desires? If you're going to finish strong, finish well, you have to apply the word of God to it. You ready for the next one? You ready? Listen, watch this. Applying the word of God. If that ain't your wife, that ain't your husband, don't be sleeping with them. Amen. We're going to apply the word of God. Amen. We're going to apply the word of God. I know we don't like talking about it. Huh? Should I move on to something else? That, huh? We have to apply the word of God to our lives if we're going to finish strong. Now watch this. If you don't know, you don't know. But once you come into the knowledge of it, God holds you accountable to do it. Amen? So if I didn't know that lying was a sin or whatever, okay, But now that you know, listen, all of you here today, you can never stand before the judgment seat of God and say, well, you know, I didn't know. You know, you knew, because I'm telling you. Amen? If you're going to finish strong, listen, there are some sacrifices you have to make to finish strong. Listen, whoever wins a championship, they make sacrifices. And if you want to win and finish strong, you got to make sacrifices. Glory to God. Man, I'm having a hard time trying to shed a few more pounds. Do you know why I'm having a hard time? Do you know why I'm having a hard time? Why am I having a hard time? Huh? Because I love to eat, that's right. And it's hard for me to push back from the table. I can't just talk about it. Study about the diet. Oh, yeah, it says if you do this and you only eat this, I can't just meditate on it. I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this. Man, I'm going to go that paleo. I'm going to do vegan, Acura, what Marie Osmond do, whatever she do, I'm going to. I meditate on it. I talk about it. I study on it. At some point, I still got to wait. Amen. I'm still overweight. I didn't read it. I didn't meditate on it. I didn't study it. I didn't talk about it. And I still got to wait. Why do I have to wait? Because I haven't applied not one new eating practice to my life. Amen. You see, there's an application there. You can talk about the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, but until you apply the Word of God, you're just pretending. You really don't want it. Because if you wanted it real bad, you'd make it happen. Amen? If you wanted it bad, listen, if you want Jesus bad enough, you'll make it happen. Amen? If you want to live right bad enough, you'll make it happen. Amen. If you want that money bad enough, you will get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, face an hour worth of traffic. Amen. Go to a job with people you don't even like. Amen. Come back home through another hour and a half worth of traffic. Amen. Just in order that you can get a paycheck on Friday. You want it bad enough, you'll do it. So if you want to finish strong, bad enough, you'll make the changes. Amen? If you want to finish strong enough, you'll make the changes. If you want to live for Jesus, you'll surrender. Don't tell me you want to live for him and don't want to surrender. You don't want to live for him. These guys came to Jesus and said, listen, I'm going to join you, but first I got to do this. Jesus said, you ain't fit for the kingdom. Huh? No. Listen, the reason I'm telling you this is, if you're unsaved here today, I want to make sure you understand, there's a cost, and there's not a cost to your salvation, but there's a cost to living right once you get saved. Huh? Jesus said, listen, who doesn't sit down at first and count the cost of building this building first? There's a cost. There are sacrifices you'll have to make in order to fulfill the call God will place on your life. Your salvation is freely received, and you keep it freely. But if you want to be a change agent, huh? If you want to fulfill the call on your life, if you want to finish strong, there's a cost that you have to be willing to make. Pushing back meals, going to meetings, studying the Word of God, allowing God to create opportunities for you to demonstrate patience. Huh? Because what that does, that strips you of all that craziness. Because when we come to the Lord, he saves us with all of our junk. Amen. We're liars, thieves, adulterers. We all come. None of us are perfect, right? We all come with our stuff. God saves all of us. You're stealing, God still saves you. You're drunk, God still saves you. But then when you come to him, he begins to sand you down and grind you down. And he uses people and situations, amen, to do that. Because you're just a raw piece of material that God is developing into this beautiful item. Huh? And so he allows you to be put in situations that causes you to change. That person that you used to work with was not your enemy. You don't like it. They were an instrument that God used to grow you. Huh? I won't use the word hate, but how many people had bosses they really didn't like? Huh? Man. Co-workers. Co-workers. You're like, what in the Sam Hill? What? Listen. They're there because God placed them there to do something in your life. And you praying for God to remove them. Get that devil out of my office. The devil. You're the devil. You're the devil. I ain't the devil. God's using that person. Amen. He's using that person to drive you to your knees. Using that person to drive you to that prayer closet. Huh? How will you finish? If you want to finish strong, rededicate yourself to God's instruction manual. You talk about the word everywhere you go. Meditate on the word. And then watch this. We have to execute the plan from the instruction book. Let me read two verses for you, then we're going to close. It's in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 6 is that first one. Luke 8, verse 6. I think it is. You guys know this. You see it up there. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says to this, and some seed fell on what is called shallow soil covering, the rocks, and as soon as it was sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. Watch this. In verse 13, in the Amplified, it says to this, those on the rocky soil are the people who, when they hear, receive and welcome the word with joy. People who start off well, right? They come to church all on fire for the Lord, right? It's all, whoa, man, just going forth, right? And receive and welcome the word with joy. But these have no firmly grounded root. These have no root. Have no root. They didn't stay in his word long enough. They didn't stay around the saints long enough. They didn't join a Bible group, and so they had no roots. They believed for a while, and in time of trial and temptation, it says they fall away. They fall away. It means they fall away from me. They abandon their faith because they have no root. They start off well, but they have no root, so they don't finish well. Huh? Yeah. And so you have to decide, how will you finish? Will you finish strong? Or will you start off well like the Atlanta Falcons? 28-3, trying to live off the first half? Or will you finish strong like the Patriots and come from behind and win? Stand to your feet, everyone. And I want to give you an opportunity. If today you're here and you do not know Jesus as Savior, All right? There's no way you, if your life ended there, you couldn't finish strong. But today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, all right? I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus. You can come to church. You can read it. You can talk about it. You can meditate on it. But if you don't apply this, if you don't allow Jesus to come into your life, listen, you will spend eternity lost and separated from him. The Bible calls that hell. So every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, meaning this, if you were to die today, you'd be separated from him for eternity. Here's your opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Do not try to say, I've got to stop doing this first. Do not say, I'm still in this type of relationship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You come with all of your issues, with all of your baggage, with all of your stuff. You just come because Jesus accepts you. Any way you come, he will change you after that. But he accepts you if you're willing to come. So if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to come join me at this altar. And could I want to pray with you? If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to know him as Savior. It's your chance. It's your chance to give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. I give you another moment. Here's your chance to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is for you. If you started off well in this first half of the year, this past first half, and you, for some reason, you kind of just kind of slowed down, lost focus, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand if that's you. You started off well. Yes, I see you. I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know the heart of these men and women who raised their hand. God, they openly admit that they've started off well, but God, somehow we've lost focus. We've slowed down. And God, today, this 8th of July, God, we rededicate ourselves to you. Hallelujah. Because God, we want to finish strong. We want to be everything that you have designed and called us to be. And so, God, we thank you for your forgiveness and your willingness, oh God, to accept our repentance, how we repent from slothfulness. Re-energize us, I pray, oh God, with your spirit. Mold us and shape us, oh God, into the mighty warriors you've called us to be. Yes, yes, yes. Be renewed in your heart and in your mind as you finish out this second half of the year strong, stronger than even when you started. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's closing me out today, Ed? Cole, come up here and get a mic, and you're going to close us out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Everyone should have a memory verse. Amen. Do you have it? Okay.